There are things happening in our world today that have very clear prophetic import. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio, and thank you for joining us today. Much of what the Bible has to say about this world's future centers on the nation of Israel, and Jesus told his disciples what this world would be like just before he returns to set up his kingdom on earth. It's not a pretty picture. Turn with us to the New Testament book of Matthew, and here's Pastor Jim.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us that your grace is full, rich, free. It's abundant, and it is invincible in its capacities to bring to us the riches of heaven for the wretchedness of sin. Thank you for the one who went to the cross, and in our place, taking our sin, our burden, paid our debt, and paid it firmly, fully, finally, and forever. We praise you. We praise you for that great love. We thank you for the promises of your word that a better day is coming, a day when Jesus Christ will tangibly, physically, actually sit upon a throne in an actual human city. And for 1,000 years, he will rule, govern, or as we're reminded in the book of Revelation, he will shepherd. He will shepherd all of those living on the earth, upholding righteousness, godliness, and truth, punishing instantly rebellion, blasphemy, disobedience. We know that during that time, the earth will be filled with peace. For the one who is at the heart of all unrest, our adversary, Satan, will be bound in the abyss, sealed, kept away from earth and all its functions. We look forward to that with great delight, great hope. And we thank you for telling us the next step. Something about a new heaven and a new earth. Something about a place where there's no sea, no need for sun, nor sanctuary, where you will dwell in our midst. You will be our God. We will be your people. Thank you for the wonderful potency of that promise. Tonight, I pray that you'll guide us through a tricky subject. Help us to leave informed, and I trust you will leave with greater understanding of your plan and seeing the implementation of that plan, a greater understanding of your wonderful book and how precise in all of its passages. How it never deviates or loses its subject, and how all that is promised is beautifully and minutely performed. Thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, your mercy, your word. Bless our hearts tonight as we listen to you speak to us. Now bless our fellowship in these moments, and then prepare us to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. I want to try to do something in the next three messages. They're a unit, they go together, and they should fit well within where we've been in the last couple of weeks. Been trying to give insight into things that are happening in our world that have clear prophetic import, clear prophetic input. What I want to do, I want to tackle three topics. Next week, we'll be talking about the rapture of the church. Following week, we'll be talking about the road to Armageddon. Different approach than you may have heard about that topic. There are some very clear directives given to us in Scripture that are usually bypassed. And tonight, I want to talk to you about Israel. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 23. This is the prelude to the massive or the most important of all of Jesus' messages concerning the date and times that surround his return, his coming back to earth. Notice with me, please, the setup for that in Matthew chapter 23. The chapter ends in verse 37 with Jesus standing in the temple. He's standing in the temple and he makes this statement, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, because I tell you, you will never see me again until," see, it doesn't stop there, "you will never see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I want you to note several things that are obvious from the context. Jesus is in the heart of the heart of the heart. He's in the heart of the land of Israel. He's in the heart of the city of Jerusalem. He's in the heart of the temple itself. And standing in that place, he makes this declaration concerning the response of the citizens of Jerusalem historically to the prophets that God sent and to the warnings that he proclaimed through those prophets. And then he says, "Because you have rejected me, your house has left you desolate." By house, I know that he means the brotherhood of Israel. 12 tribes, those who lived among them. It involves both the temple and the city and the prophets and the prophetic teachings. All of these rich, rich things that God had provided to the people who worshiped there in Jerusalem in the temple. And he's saying, "You'll not see me again until you shout concerning me, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now that stirred the disciples' attention. And look what they ask him in verse 3. Jesus goes out, crosses the valley of the Kidron, goes up to the top of Mount of Olives. He's sitting there. His disciples approach him privately and say, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The end of the age. In Jesus' response, he spells out the experience of that generation who will live on the earth immediately before Jesus returns from heaven. This is not the rapture. This is not when he takes people up. This is the return when Jesus comes down. We'll talk about that next week. But tonight I want to go through this passage and show you how Jewish this passage is. That this passage is not being spoken to Gentiles. It's being spoken to the Jewish people. And that leads us to some very stunning conclusions as to what this passage really teaches. There are at least 15 different clues in the passage. I'll hit those that we have moments for tonight. First thing I wanted you to notice, their question involved not just the return of Jesus, but the end of the age. See that? Now look what Jesus says in verse 6. "You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed, these things will take place, but the end," there it is again, the end what? The end of the age. The end is not yet. See that? Go down to it's verse 13, where Jesus says, "But the one who endures to the end will be delivered." Now look at verse 14. "This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations." All nations, that's the phrase that means all the Gentiles, the other nations. Then, he says, the end will come. The end of what? The end of the age. What age? The age that the scriptures call the times of the Gentiles. If you flip over to the Gospel of Luke, Luke spells that out in his presentation of this same passage. It's in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, Luke tells us about the same problems that Jerusalem's going to face. There are going to be armies, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be all kinds of trouble. Look at verse 24. They will fall by the edge of the sword. They will be led captive into all the nations. Being led captive into all the nations is a reference to the Jews. They are going to be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles. Now watch. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Times of the Gentiles. Where would you go in the Bible to read about this period of time, the time of the Gentiles? Well, you'd go to the book of Daniel. And Daniel there gives us a series of both indirect instructions from God delivered by angels. He also gives us a series of visions and images where he describes four movements. Remember the head of gold? Remember silver? Remember brass? Remember iron at the feet? Four different kingdoms, all of them Gentile, meaning none of them Jewish. Meaning all of them Gentile will come to fulfill the time of history until Messiah comes. First of all, there's Babylon, you know that. Then what's next? Persia. Then what's next? Greece. Then what's next? What kingdom is in charge? What Gentile kingdom in those images is in charge today? Rome. And who will come out of Rome? The Antichrist. That's what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. Trace his career. But you go to Daniel to find those things out. And what Jesus is telling his disciples is that there are going to be all kinds of special things that will mark the end of Gentile domination. What's going to follow Gentile domination? King Jesus is going to sit upon a literal throne in the literal city of Jerusalem and rule a literal kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. That's what he promised. That's what he's going to do. But you'll notice Jesus is here talking to a Jewish audience in a Jewish setting about what's going to happen to the Jewish people. And he says right here, all kinds of bad things are going to happen. Look at verse 9. Then they will hand you over for persecution. And they, who are they? They will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Because Jesus is who he is, because he did what he did, because he completed the work of God in keeping with God's plan for providing salvation for sinners. Because of all of that, the world hates Jesus. And you know who orchestrates that hatred? Satan and his minions. That's why he's called Satan. So Jesus is saying that the Jewish people are going to be hated. Pick up any newspaper, and you can read about that hate right now. It is amazing. One thing the world seems to agree on tonight is Israel's got to go. Whether you're talking to audiences in Europe, whether you're talking to audiences in Russia, wherever you go, wherever there are, quote, civilized humans, the one common theme in the world today, and it's growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, is this hatred, this detesting of the Jews and their position in Jerusalem and in the land. Why? It all goes back to one issue. Jesus, who he is, what he did, and what that means. Because Jesus came, salvation is now available to anyone who will simply receive it by faith. If you don't receive him, you're condemned. No man cometh to the Father but by me cuts across every other religious philosophy there is in the world. All the do-good business, all the accumulation of wealth, security, all of the other goals of life are trash until you get that one right. And the only way you can know your Creator, the only way you can ever experience and discover your purpose for living, your distinct person, who you are, what you were created to do, why you are here on this planet. The only person who can tell you that is the Creator who created you, and the only way you can have a relationship with that God is through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, that just makes people angry all over. And so who did they take that out on? The most famous Jew in all history. His name is Jesus. But Jesus got it right. You want to take the pulse of how close we are to Jesus' return, just take the pulse of anti-Semitism in the world. Now Jesus goes on. He promises that the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world to all the nations. You see it there in verse 14? This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. Aha, you're going to say, the church has to stay here. No, the church is not the instrument by which God will fulfill that promise. Come next week, I'll let you read it for yourself. That promise will be kept. But it won't be accomplished through the church. See you next week. Jesus, God in human flesh, refers back to an Old Testament prophet and what he said. Look at it. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation, that's a phrase he took from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Spoken up by the prophet Daniel, when you see that standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Now back up for a minute and ponder four of those words. When it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's a specific event that Daniel gave or was given to Daniel. Actually, Daniel didn't create that. It was created by the angel, Gabriel, who came to Daniel with an explanation. Daniel, here's what's ahead for you, your people, and your city. Here it is. It's 70 sevens. 69 are going to go by, and Messiah's going to be killed, going to die. That leaves one other seven. That period of seven is going to begin by a treaty imposed upon the majority of the Jewish people by the guy we call the Antichrist. Again, put a pause there. 2 weeks from now, we'll fill in the rest of that. That's how that last 7 years will be accomplished. In Daniel chapter 7, listen to this. Daniel chapter 7, at least 20 years before the 70 weeks of Daniel, God told Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 that Antichrist would rise, chapter 7. And he said specifically that this one who would rise out of the Roman Empire, this beast creature, would kill and maim and destroy God's people. Listen, for time, that's what it says, time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 units. Daniel knew that about 20 years before God gave him the wonderful outline of the seventh week of Daniel. In other words, God told Daniel about how long the Antichrist was going to rule upon the earth and what he was going to do and how much time that would take. Told him that before the 70th week Daniel was ever given. When he came to the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, God said, now Daniel, here's how this fits together. From this moment all the way down till Messiah comes back to rule as king. That was the prophet Daniel who's Jewish. And the prophecy was specifically about God's dealings with the Jewish people, not the Gentiles, and not the church. Not the church. Jesus called reference to that, the prophecy of Daniel, affirming that Daniel's prophecy was true, accurate, and that that part concerning the Antichrist had yet to be fulfilled, still future. Significant observations. And that the fulfillment of that part of the prophecy would take place in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies. The temple will be rebuilt. The temple will be a place of sacrifice and Jewish worship. At the time, this Antichrist does this thing called the abomination of desolation. That's the second thing. Third thing this passage tells us is that those who live in Judea, doesn't say Franklin County, doesn't say New York, doesn't say Chicago. Did Jesus not know about Chicago? Did Jesus not know there'd be more people living in New York than all of Israel? Sure he did. But this isn't pertinent to those folks living in New York unless they're Jews. Now, if they're Jews, this is very pertinent for them. Daniel is told, Daniel speaks these things, writes these things down, and then you have this, let those in Judea. Judea is like, it's like the United States has 48 states, okay? Our state is Ohio, and we live in Columbus, which is in Ohio. Okay, as Columbus is in Ohio, or you want to use it a different way, as Columbus is in Franklin County, which is one of the counties in Ohio, take it either way, Judah is the county or the smaller area in which Jerusalem was located. So what Jesus is saying is that when you see this event take place, meaning that you'd have to be there, you'd have to be in the temple area, you'd have to be close enough to see this, you'd have to understand what this all means when this all happens. Everything that Daniel taught, you better know. God's already told that. And if you're Jewish, it pertains to you. It doesn't pertain to Gentiles.
What Jesus had to say about the tribulation implies that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt and will be standing at his return. And the things that Daniel talked about happening there apply directly to the Jews, especially those living in that part of Israel known as Judea. God has not forgotten the Jews, and he has not set them aside or replaced them. Well, these single studies are available on CDs for you, so if you would like a copy for your own home library, they are available. We're calling today's lesson, What You Did for These My Brothers, and for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our current series, The Fig Tree is Blossoming, is available on a 10-disc set for your gift of $40 or more. We have several ways that you can order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast at iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Right Start is listener-supported. We depend on your prayerful financial support to keep this program coming your way. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening in today. Plan now to join us again Thursday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start.